Glenn Dickinson, Tape 1, August 24th, 1970.
Okay, here you go. Where were you born?
I was born right here, Franklin County, right here in this place.
Mm-hmm. What year, could you tell us?
Yeah, 1896.
Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
Father's name was Fortis Dickinson.
Fortis?
Yeah, my mother's name was Helen.
Mm-hmm. What was your maiden name?
Whose maiden name?
Your mother's.
Helen.
No, what was her maiden last name?
Oh,
before she was married?
Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where were her people from?
They were from Bangor. Charlie Davis, that was her father. And his father, he was Charlie Davis, was a boat builder, a cabinet maker, he could make anything.
Mm-hmm.
And his father went to California in the 49 gold strike, and he had to come home and take care of Charlie. Charlie was kind of a tough man. And he had to come home, straighten him out. He came home and said, then he went back again and he struck gold. That was the 49 gold strike. He struck gold and started home, and that's the last they ever heard of him.
Hmm.
Yep, that was Charlie Day. That was my mother's father's father.
And what was his name? First name?
Which one?
The one who struck gold.
Well, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. But I don't know.
Charlie was his son, and Charlie was your mother's father.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Do you remember your mother's father?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He lived up on the corner here at Bangor. He was a boat builder there. I think there's boats on Indian Lake in Mountain View that he built. Lifetime boats, you know, and he had a paint that he would put on those boats, and he promised a certain man, well, to Leroy Keeler, that he would give him the recipe for that paint before he died.
Well,
he never did, but those boats, those paint, they never had to paint them again.
Huh.
Yeah. He had a wonderful recipe, and he made a wonderful boat. He was a cabinet maker and a wonderful workman.
What was the paint like? How is it different from modern-day paint?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But he promised to give it to Newt Keeler. But someone haven't, he never did. And when he'd mix that paint, he'd go to different places and get the material for it. He would. So nobody would know what he had in there. Yeah.
Hmm. Was he a good-tempered man? Was he easy to get along with?
Well, he was very set in his ways. No, he wasn't too easy to get along with. Of course, us kids, we get along with him good, but he wasn't an easy man to get along with, no. Oh.
Did he have a beard?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Go ahead.
He had a farm too, and he raised hops, and years ago when hops were so high, $1 a pound, dollar a little better than $1, he had a chance to sell his hops. It lacked $2 of being $5,000. Well, back in those days, $5,000 was a lot of money. A lot of money. And so Arthur Ford, he lived right in town here. He told him, says, Charlie, here's $2. He says, sell those hops. Charlie said, no, I'm going to get that right out of those hops. He didn't sell the hops. He kept them, and the next year, practically worthless, you know, maybe 4 or 5 cents a pound he got from them.
Hmm.
where he could get a little better than $1 a pound. Well, that kind of ruined him, you know. Yeah.
How did it change him?
Was that?
How did it change him? Did it change his personality or anything?
Well, it kind of knocked him. Financially, it kind of knocked him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he went on building boats. And of course, that was before my time, before I remember, but I heard him tell about it, you see. But he went on building boats. He can make anything. Violins, banjos, bass drums, he'd make anything, you know. And he would take hides, like deer hides, cow hides, any kind of hide, and tan them, and they come out just as nice and soft as though they were done by a professional. I know, of course, that's good. He used to dally around it. Brother and I, we had quite a family, but he'd dally around with all of us, and we'd get a woodchuck. We'd have to take the hide up that him. He'd tan that hide to be just as soft and nice, with the fur on or off, just as you wanted it.
Yeah.
And it would be wonderful. I remember my father. He went hunting. He got a buck. Well, Grandpa Davis tanned the hide. And I never forget that. It used to be up in the woodshed chamber. And Brother and I used to cut it out for a baseball. We had a baseball. You know, we didn't have money to buy baseballs then, you know. We'd take and cut out and make a cover for the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Have a pattern and even cut them out and make out of that buckskin. Just as soft and pliable as could be, yeah. He could do anything, that fellow.
Did he use hemlock bark to tan?
I don't know what he used. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where were your father's people from? Were they from Bangor?
Originally, yeah. Father and grandfather from Bangor. They went west. They went out in Iowa. And I've heard my grandfather talk about that. But they came back here. And then my father was father's school teacher up here. He used to teach school up here in the school at Bangor. Yeah, that was a long time ago, and he had boys going to school. Take George Bradford, you wouldn't know him, but he was a man grown, great big. He had some old boys in there, you know. It was tough to handle, but he taught the school and handled the boys. I've heard him tell that they would go down cellar, maybe at recess, and have a little swaller. But when they went back in the classroom, that was another thing. There was order in there, yep. Yep.
Your father went to Iowa?
Yeah, he was out with my father and grandfather, and then they came back, and my father married my mother and raised the family. Nine of us in the family. There was a set of twins, they died. So that left seven. Yeah.
Seven children?
Seven. There was a twins, they was a couple of years old and they died. Nine in the family with the twins, yeah.
But there were seven children alive?
There was seven children alive that lived to be an old age, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you the oldest?
I was the youngest.
You were the youngest?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you lived in this same house all the time you were a child?
Yeah. Yeah. Brought the family right up in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a large house. You see, there's rooms upstairs. The room here is 1, 2, 3, 4 rooms upstairs on that side, and a big room up here. I remember we used to have a stove years ago. It used to be stoves, you know. Big heater here, and the stove pipe run around and up through there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a room up here. Well, my dad had a hired man, and he would sleep up in this room. And my brother and I, he was 2 years older than I was, we slept up in there too. It was the warmest room there was upstairs, you know. Yeah.
How was the, you replaced almost all the old furniture you had when you were a boy from the house? Is it almost all gone?
Well, yeah. Wore out and disappeared, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did your parents have, what kind of parents did your, furniture did your parents have in the living room when you were young?
Well, of course this is my, that was my father's and mother's bedroom in there. And we, us kids all slept upstairs, you know, and that was the parlor. Years ago they used to have parlor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the parlor, and then now we all used the bedroom. And my wife had the bed there, and I had the bed in there. And you see, even my sister was bad. I had to come up here to take care of her. And when my brother died, she was alone. She was 89 years old. And she slept in there, so my wife and I slept in there. So we'd be here. If anything happened, she'd holler or something, want something. We'd be here, yep.
Was this the only stove when you were a boy, the one here, besides the kitchen stove?
No, I had one in there, too, for the winter, you know. We had one heater in there, and this one here, and then a kitchen wood cook stove. That was in years gone by, you know. And there was a different stove in here. It was a great big box stove. One of these... there's a great heater, but you know what a box stove is? Oh, they're probably 4 foot long, you know. And then the upper part had doors. Had doors, you open them up, for the heat to come out. And you could put chunks in there, probably, 25-30 inches long. Put them right in there for overnight. And that would heat up the whole house, leave that chamber door open, heat up the whole place. And for the kids, brother and I, of course the older boys, I suppose probably they done the same thing, but my brother and I, father had a wood lot up here about 5-6 miles up, and he'd draw the wood down, you know. In the wintertime, he'd have a gang up there, a couple of hours up, and they had a camp up, and then they'd cut the wood. And he'd go down, he'd get us, Howard and I, my brother and I, to go up with him. They'd have him swamp out the wood, load it on the wagon, or the sleds. He'd draw it down to the horses and pile it up out here. And the chunks saved for that stove, you see. And the other would have split up for the kitchen range. And like that. But there's my brothers and I, my job to get that wood piled up in back of that stove so there'd be enough for all night. And all the next day, and the next night we'd pile it right in there again. On a hand sled, you know, we'd have those big chunks piled up above. There used to be a hop house up above here, and we'd be up in there. And so we'd have to load it on our hand sled and bring it down. And that was quite a job for a couple of kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How old were you when you were doing this?
Oh, I was just a young devil, probably 7-8 years old. My brother was 2 years older than I was. And he just died this last year, this summer. My wife died in March. Yeah.
What was the parlor stove like in there?
It was just a smaller coal stove, or heater, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was here, we burnt coal in there.
Did you know any of the neighbors who had a fireplace in their house that they heated their house with?
No, I don't know of a house around here that has got a fireplace in.
Mm-hmm. What kind of carpets did your mother have on the floor?
Well, this floor was covered with it was a rag carpet. You know, they used to make them, they called them rag carpets, you know. This floor was covered all over, one of those, as I remember. And then afterwards that went to, and then it was later years to linoleum, you know.
Mm-hmm. What did the parlor have as a carpet?
Well, I think that had the same thing. Well, they used to call them rag garbage, you know, how they were made. I don't know how they were made, but that's what they were. A good sturdy carpet.
Did they have paper on the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah, mother would put paper on the newspapers, you know, underneath it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have these regular, like you get today, you see they didn't have them, then there's those things underneath, you know.
Carpet.
You use papers.
What kind of curtains were there on the windows?
Hey, well, I don't remember, just plain curtains, I guess. I don't remember about that.
Were there pictures on the walls?
Not too many. They would have, those days, they would have pictures, say, of my grandfather and my grandmother, great big, well, they were drawn out pictures, you know, nice pictures in a big, big frame. I remember my my daughter's, my grandchild was up here last summer with my daughter, and he see that picture up in the woodshed chamber of my grandfather with whiskers. My grandfather had whiskers on, and he wanted that boy to take it to you, and so he took that down, and it was in a big, big frame, you know, or probably or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe long as
oval shaped?
No,
square.
This is square. This is square, yeah. Yeah.
Were you allowed to play in the parlor when you were young?
No. Mm-hmm. No. I remember my brother, Roy, used to be a musician. He took lessons from Fred Ryan, a fellow by the name of Fred Ryan, so long that Fred Ryan told him, now he says, I'm not going to give you any more lessons. Well, I said, well, what's the matter? Well, he says, you can play better than I can now. And he wouldn't give him any more lessons. So, my brother used to give lessons to a few, you know what I mean? He'd come down up here, him and took lessons from him. And there were number of people took lessons from him, you know. And he used to give his lessons in the parlor, that's what reminded me of that, in there. He'd give his lessons in there, close the door and go in, and us kids couldn't be in there, you know, when he'd give a lesson. So I was kind of inclined, I liked music. So, that time I was sleeping up, I used to sleep with this brother upstairs in that bedroom, upstairs. So, he had somebody there giving lessons to him. So, after they got through, they went home and brother got to bed. Well, I wasn't in the bed. Well, he got looking around for me, and he come down, woke up my father and mother. Oh, they hadn't seen me. They didn't know where I was. He got looking around, and I crawled under the couch in that parlor in there so I could hear it. And then I went to sleep, and they got playing, so I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He dug me up and got me upstairs to the bed. Yeah. Yeah.
Did they have horsehair furniture?
What's that?
Horsehair furniture. Horsehair, you know. Covered with horsehair, the sofas and the chairs.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. It could be. I know it could, but I don't remember what the sofa was covered with. I don't remember.
Did they use rocking chairs?
Yes, yes. They had rocking chairs. There's a rocking chair in chair in the kitchen that was given to my father and mother on their wedding anniversary. I finished it over 2-3 years ago, and it says that's where I sat. When I sat in the kitchen, I sat in that chair. You want to just take a peek at it?
Yeah. What were the beds like in those days?
Well, they were. there's one in the woodshed chamber now. slat beds, you know, you wooden sideboards in kind of a high back, and you get your slats, and then you put your springs on top of those slats. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever have rope beds?
Yeah, we did have. Years ago, there used to be one up in that chamber where we slept on, yeah, the ropes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's disappeared now.
What were the mattresses like?
Well, there wasn't much of a mattress. In years gone, in the olden times, there wasn't much of a mattress. It was a stick filled with the corn husk or straw. That's what it was. There wasn't no regular soft mattresses then. No, it was just stick filled with corn husk or straw, mostly corn husk, you know. I made a fairly good a good mattress. Us kids, it didn't bother us any.
Your mattresses were mainly corn husk?
That was a mattress, yeah. And then you might have a feather bed on top of that. See, a feather mattress.
Oh, two mattresses, in other words.
Well, there would be this corn husk, yeah. And then these are raised ducks, and they'd pluck the ducks and geese and make a feather bed in the sticking, you know, and make a feather bed. Well, that was soft and nice and warm. Yep, on top of the corn husk mattress, yep. Mm. Yeah.
Were your rooms all papered?
Yeah, papered. It was papered, yeah.
How about the kitchen?
Well, that was the kitchen. That's papered, too.
Mm. Was the ceiling in the kitchen painted?
No, it was papered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might have been before my time, it couldn't have been painted, but I remember it was always papered.
How often was the paper replaced on the walls?
Well, I wouldn't know. Not too often, whenever. They done their own paper. My mother done her own paper, and when mm-hmm. needed paper, she papered it.
How thorough was spring cleaning? What'd they do in spring cleaning?
Well, years ago, in my mother's time, of course they kept the places nice and neat. But as far as spring cleaning goes, I don't remember. You know, being a boy, I would remember. She probably had her cleaning to do, her spring cleaning. But I remember one time, brother and I, we used to fight. You know, it didn't mean much. But one time, we got in a fight in that bedroom. Father was out in the field somewhere. But anyhow, he gave me a crack or something, then he run. And he shut that door. Of course, I had to open the door to get going again. And he run out through that door. There was a door there then. And he run out through that door and shut the door, and when I come to the door, I never stopped them, and I went right straight through the panel. Jumped right straight through it. You know? And mother said, "Now, wait till your father comes. Wait till your father comes." Well, I tell you, we were good friends right off quick again. You know, we went patching that door up and getting the panel back. And we fixed that door up, and it didn't, father didn't notice it until, my sister was married then. One of my sisters was married, and she and her husband used to come over for a Sunday dinner, you know, just to spend Sunday. And sister sat over there, and my father was sitting along here, and she looked. Well, she says, "What's happened to that door? What happened to the door?" The old man, he said, "What in hell's been going on there?" You know, but it's gone by too far. We didn't get a trim in that time. So he had a new door put in there. It's a door that swung both ways. I took it down a couple of years ago.
Was your father very strict?
Well, he... he was a boss, and when he said anything, we honored it, you know what I mean? We didn't argue with him any.
How did he punish you?
What's that?
How would he punish you?
Oh, he'd take a horse whip. Boy, horse whip. I remember once he bought a new sprayer. Potato sprayer, you know, 50-gallon tank on it, and it was one, you put one horse in it, and we had another farm up above. But anyhow, brother and I was here, and they went up the other farm. Now he said, don't fool around with that sprayer. So, of course, after they we watched, when they got out of sight, the first thing we had to do was jump on that sprayer. Well, wait, balance, you get on the back end of it, over to go, come back, you know. Well, it come over and broke a pipe off. Well, of course, brother and I knew hell to pay then. So, when the old man and his hired man drove in, he looked at that sprayer. He got us out there. Well, we admitted it, we got up on the sprayer. And so, he took us in on the barn floor, and he had a horse up there. He gave me, a couple little slashes, and I began to boo-hoo right off quick, you know. So that was the end of my licking. Well, he got my brother in there. My brother was a little older. He wouldn't cry. The old man laid down to him pretty good. Anyhow, I come in the woodshed, and I waited for my brother to come, you know. So he come in, and when he come in, I begin to ha! Laugh at him, you know. Jesus, we had another knockdown right in the woodshed, you know. Yeah, we went right to town again. Yeah. Well, that's the way it was. There you go. Those days are gone.
Was your father fairly typical of the men around him in the neighborhood?
Well, he had good neighbors. He got along with them good. Of course, in the olden days, they were very strict. If your cows got on my property or something, they didn't think much of it, you know. And
was he like the men who lived around here, you know, pretty much like them?
Well,
similar ways.
I wouldn't say so, no. No, he run his own business, and they would have arguments. They'd have arguments with this neighbor, and he'd have arguments with that neighbor. But the further neighbor, Link Spaulding, he was a pal of his. They got along perfect. He was the house on this side there. He owned the farm there, and he and my father got along good. If one went to Malone with the other fellow, the other one would send out and get stuff for him, and if father went, he'd send out and get stuff for him. They got along good. I never knew of them having any arguments, you know. But other neighbors, there was arguments.
About what, for instance?
Well, most anything. Now, this neighbor over here had a great big St. Bernard dog, and he didn't like cats. So they come in here and he killed a cat right in the woodshed, you know?
The dog did.
The big St. Bernard. The old man grabbed his rifle and he went out on the porch and he pulled up and let her drive down the sidewalk. Well, that dog ki-yi, but it didn't, I guess the sparks from the stone, you know, it didn't hit the dog. But well, that's the way it was, you know, things like that. And if their hens got over there, held the pig, and if their hens got over here, it's the same thing, and that neighbor's the same way, lived across the road. His hens get over here, the old man would tell him about it, and If their stuff got over there, it was the same difference, you know. But the other fellow way over there, he didn't, they got along good.
Did you have a dining room in this house?
The kitchen. This was the living and dining room, but we always eat in the kitchen. It's a big kitchen. Mm-hmm. We always eat, and they had a big table.
Did it have wood you could put in to make it larger?
Yes. It's that might be the same table that's there now. You had leaves you put in. You said there'd be, you know, there'd be a pie on this end of the table and a pie on that end, you know. Two pies sitting on the table. And I remember for breakfast, he always had a hired man, and for breakfast, it'd be boiled potatoes, salt pork, gravy, bread and butter, coffee.